list, we should have had the document at least by yesterday, so we could at least go through the documents at night, at least last night. So, like mine, I only received mine about 2 hours ago. I'm not sure when other members received that. So that gives us a very limited time in which, you know, we could get time to go through the documents. So that does cripple our performance as a committee. So I thought I'd raise this with you so that you will know. And we had raised this before with the department that we would appreciate if documents are sent to us a bit earlier so it could give us time to go through. But that has not happened. But nevertheless, we will accept them for today again. I hope that is the feeling of the committee. And we will ask the committee then just to immediately take us through the plan. Thanks. Unless there's someone who wants to say something. Have I covered you? Thanks. Can over to the department. I think another thing that actually cripples us and cripples the department is the fact that we don't as yet have an accounting officer whom we can, you know, direct all these things to. So that does also cripple us a bit. Honorable Robinson and then Marcus. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's not spend too much time.
No. I just wanted to know what the status was. Where are we with regarding the appointment of an accounting officer? Because I think this is something crucial. I just wonder whether the department could inform us of what where we are in the process. Thank you.
And my question is, the department has to indicate to us who is the acting accounting officer today, because we should know that too. Yes, because yesterday they got the department here.
Also, I think it was an oversight, Minister. I'm told I did not welcome you. Well, I am welcoming you and the members of the department. Sorry about that. So there is a plea that we understand as to who is the accounting officer for today. So in other words, we as a committee, we want to know who takes responsibility. If we don't do that, then in future, if we question, then it should be said, no, it does not meet, or so and so. So we just want to be clear to who's the accounting officer, at least for today. Of course, knowing fully well that you don't have a permanent person in place as yet.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, let me apologize for the committee having received the documents late, and I think something that we will improve, you know, as we continue. I think the concern that has been made is well accepted. And the second point is to indicate in terms of the process of the accounting officer. Already we had interviews yesterday, which will then lead to a process by cabinet to appoint an accounting officer. So that matter is already in process and towards conclusion as chairperson. And then for today, we have Dr. Ellen Conagay, who will be the accounting officer for purposes of what we are doing today. So therefore, I want to present Dr. Ellen Conagay to, who will also take us through the strategic plan as requested by the committee last week. So, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, we will thank you once again for the opportunity to present to you our strategic plan. As requested by the Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee last week, we are back with a strongly revised document with an operational plan as we committed to last week. So we do hope that with today's presentation, we will be able to make a progress as indicated. The opening statement last week was made, you know, as to the overall vision in brief and what you would like to see in the next period. But I think the detail then in the presentation will then deal with the pertinent issues on how then we are going to move forward with respect to the program and also within the constraints that we are facing as a new department. So I want to thank you very much, Chairperson, and once again apologize to the honorable members of the committee. So we are a new department, there will be hiccups here and there, and I'm sure and I can commit that our relationship will be stronger by us also meeting the expectations, you know, of the Portfolio Committee in the future and also working well with the committee. So thank you very much, Chairperson, for this opportunity. I think in the interest of time, I can immediately ask Dr. Ellen Konege to through your chair to start the process of the presentation in this regard. Thank you.
I think the apology is accepted, members. Can we just first understand which document are we using? Is it this one? I know when I was new in Parliament, the chair never used to be cautious to check on members whether they are carrying the right document. So you will sit there paging through trying to grapple. So it's very important to understand which document we are using. Is it this one? Is it this one?
Good morning. Thank you, Minister, Chairperson, and members. I will take you very quickly through the PowerPoint that is in the packet. Before I start, I will indicate what's in the packet. The first document is the strategic plan. The second document would be the PowerPoint that I'll go through. The third document would be the operational plans for the branches, and this is the operational plans that provide the amount for $156 million. The fourth document, the fourth document is the structure that was approved by the Department for Public Service and Administration. So for the purposes of what I'm going to do now, I will go through the PowerPoint, which is the second document in the packet, and it has been changed somewhat to accommodate the $156 million, which was at the request of the committee. On page 2 of the PowerPoint, it really goes and does a summary of the strategic plan. I should indicate that the strategic plan, in a sense, describes a vision the vision of, you know, South Africa's advancement towards equality, equal access, and as such, the vision has not changed. What has changed is how the strategy of how we incrementally address the issues in terms of programmatic matters. So the incremental approach is in the operational plans, which are limited to 156, but the strategic vision remains the same. There is, of course, a foreword by the minister, and this foreword has a very central thesis, which is that the establishment of a standalone national machinery for gender, disability, and children's rights was established in order to address issues of capacity, technical skills, and financial resources. It was also established to provide government with an expanded capacity to mainstream gender, disability, and children's considerations. It was established in July 2010, and the establishment of the Department for Women, Children, and Persons with Disabilities in May 2009, and the strategy itself was to take effect in terms of the beginning of the financial year. The establishment of the department and other new departments are in compliance with the decision to change the architecture of government in order to align the electoral mandate, the governance structures, and the developmental challenges that need to receive immediate and urgent attention from government. It also, in terms of the strategic plan, is a clarification of purpose of the department's the strategic thrust. And it's also a recognition of resource allocation and an emphasis on a move towards GDC-responsive budgeting process. That would be the summary of what is in the strategic plan with regard to the minister's forward. The overall presentation of the strategic plan really emphasizes a legislative framework. And it emphasizes that there are the national legal framework, the continental and international legal frameworks. It reflects on the constitutional mandate and the number of legislation it gives rise to, including the Reconstruction and Development Transformation and Public Service Acts that stipulate performance with regard to norms and standards. Gender Equality, Children's Rights, and Disabilities Acts and bills are contained, and the strategy refers to very specific bills that refer to each of the sectors. Continental and international instruments to which South Africa is signatory are also listed in the strategic plan. The department's specific imperatives arise from the national and international obligations. That is why, essentially, the strategic vision cannot change, because it has been defined legally, and South Africa, having signed the international and national instruments, can now not unsign those and has to implement against them. With regard to the mandate, vision, and mission, the mandate is to drive the government's equity, equality, and empowerment agenda of marginalized groups and historically disadvantaged communities in each of the sectors through mainstreaming, empowerment, and oversight. The vision is to create a non-sexist, non-racial, equity and gender equality-oriented and inclusive society that cares, protects, and develops the human potential of its women, children, and persons with disabilities. The mission is to create an enabling environment in order to assure the translation of constitutional obligations, policies, and legislative frameworks through mainstreaming and the realization of a GDC rights-oriented programming. With regard to core functions, the core functions are summarized here as the promotion and protection of the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities. And this particular function would refer us to accelerate implementation on constitutional and international obligations on the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities, and also refer us to the use of catalytic projects for the three sectors. Coordinate and facilitate collaboration in the three sectors to ensure mainstreaming of gender, disability, and children's rights. Then the third is to set the norms and standards with regard to rights and development-oriented transformation necessary to achieve incremental women's empowerment, gender equality, children's rights, and equalization of development opportunities for persons with disabilities. Then monitor and evaluate.
Can I just say this? I'm a bit lost. So why do you have 1, 2, 4? Is it deliberate? That's on the page where you are now. You have, or under core function, you have 1, 2, 4. You don't have number 3.
There are no numbers in mine.
There's no numbers in yours?
Yeah, it's a bullet.
No, mine is a number. Page. What page is that?
3 of the PowerPoint.
Oh, of the PowerPoint?
Yeah.
And I was looking at the wrong place, but I was following exactly what you were saying. Remember, were you on the right page?
Yes.
Okay.
then monitor and evaluate delivery on agreed targets in the three sectors. This will culminate in disaggregated rights delivery databases, issue-specific research findings, and national efficiencies for comprehensive reporting at country and international levels. Advance international cooperation and partnerships to promote and protect socioeconomic and cultural rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities. The strategic objectives that have been identified in order to achieve the core functions are to create an enabling policy environment for translating government's mandate towards the empowerment, advancement, and socioeconomic development of the three vulnerable groups, to facilitate the mainstreaming of gender, disability, and children's considerations into government policies, activities, programs through the establishment of relevant structures, mechanisms, and projects, to ensure compliance and comprehensive reporting on implementation of national, continental, and international commitments on GDC considerations through the development of an effective and efficient M&E system, to facilitate planning, implementation, progress tracking, and agreement on strategies for continuous improvement in the three sectors, to lead on behalf of the Government of South Africa in women, children's rights, and disabilities initiatives at national, continental, and international level. There are broad 5-year priorities. The national priorities are economic growth and sustainable livelihoods, education, health, rural development, fight against crime. These inform the priorities for the department, which have been identified as setting a GDC agenda, a national agenda, develop a green paper, develop a GDC plan of action, mainstream women's empowerment, gender equality, children's rights and responsibility, and disability considerations into key programs of relevant lead departments. lead in development of related implementation, national standards rights, responsibilities, targets, transformation, M&E and coordination indicators. Facilitate integrated action to advance gender, disability, and children's rights. Having considered both the core functions and the strategic objectives and the priorities, the mandate for implementation in terms of improving upon the plan is to strengthen family life, align understanding in government on mandate of the department, maximize invaluable experience of the presidency over the years on gender equality, children's rights, and empowerment of persons with disabilities, strengthen strategic public-private partnerships to advance the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities, align the OSW, ORC, and OSDP programs as the three spheres of government with the strategic thrust of the department. Key national achievements to date are the human rights-based national constitution, Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Women, Children, Persons with Disabilities, South Africa's ratification of key gender equality-oriented and children rights-oriented as well as disability-oriented continental and international instruments. Then the development of public-private partnerships, submission of sector-specific AU and UN reports, and emerging concerns. Observance of key annual sector-specific days, then the establishment of the Department for Women, Children, and Persons with Disability as a standalone national machinery, South Africa's visibility at international level in the three sectors. With this, we would then have given the specific branch mandate implementation plans, which are detailed in the strategic plan, that is the first document on page 14. And so I wouldn't read them through the details of those tables. Now, the recommended way forward that the strategic plan proposes is one, integration of gender equality, children's rights, and disability considerations into the key initiatives of government priorities as they are led by the various lead departments. Facilitate sectoral agreements on three-year and incremental annual targets, indicators, planning implementations, performance tracking, as well as reporting mechanisms. Sector-specific knowledge management to ensure continuous performance improvement in the three sectors. The development of systems to establish the department. Development of a green paper, development of a gender, disability, and children's rights national agenda. The anticipated outcome by 2014 are innovation on culture-specific implementation programs, GDC national plan, GDC policy documents that will align the various legal imperatives for the three programs in order to have coherence for the department. Then the departmental leadership in terms of South Africa's compliance with relevant constitutional mandates and international instruments. Alignment in government on the understanding, interpretation, and application of the national agenda on gender equality, children's rights and responsibilities, as well as the rights for persons with disabilities. Incremental access to human rights and development opportunities by women, children, and persons with disabilities. Strategic catalytic projects in the three sectors. Departmental mainstreaming, coordination, oversight, and comprehensive reporting efficiencies. The human resource plan and physical and financial acquisition plan. With regard to HR, the DPSA concurrence with a departmental structure and implications of this development. That is attached as the last document in the packet, which is on page 25. Then the composition of the department's interim personnel team. Then when we look at the physical and financial acquisition plan, the acquisition of the department's operating premises and related electronic systems and material, office equipment, essential supplies and other basic requirements necessary to affect the department's functionality make it very difficult with regard to the current allocation. And of course, there is the allocation within the department's vote to the Commission on Gender Equality. With regard to the medium-term expenditure framework, the department's zero-based budgeting approach and motivation was for physical establishment of the new department, and this was set at $40 million. The current budget of $156 allows $7 million. Mandate implementation plan for 3 years beginning April 2010. The need to critical capability in the department to deliver on the department's mandate. Then, of course, the personnel composition. Then the final allocation of $156 over 3 years. There is the narrative outlines that. Allocation consequences. The budget allocation that is currently the reality of the department is going to make it very difficult for the department to achieve critical capabilities to deliver on its mandate beyond the mandates of the three programs that it's absorbing. Accountability framework. The department accounts to the president and cabinet, to parliament, and it also accounts to the various machineries, that is, to the various sectors, the disability sector, the women sector, the children sector. At the continental level, it is to the African Union, and also at internationally to multilateral agencies, including the UN. It also, of course, must report to the nation at large. And that, Chairperson, is the summary for the strategic plan that is being presented to the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Conigay. Members, I'm not sure how you would want us to do this. Should we open for questions, or should we immediately after this presentation ask to be taken through the budget itself? How do you want us to do it? In other words, I'm trying to say, if the department had a CFO, then we would be handing over to the CFO now to take us through the budget. So I'm asking, how do you want us to do it? Should we, do you want to take questions now or go to the budget? Can someone say that?
We'll go through the budget.
Could we be taken through the budget, and thereafter we will just take, you know, questions? Actually, that was the initial request. We had a problem around the budget. So now that you are here, you have presented this to us, but we are asking now that you take us through the budget so as to understand whether or not we can fit the program into the budget.
Okay.
The lady was presenting, you might know her, I've forgotten. What's the lady was presenting, what is her name, position? I just caught doctor somewhere in the, I don't know if we know her from previous meetings, but I've forgotten.
It's Dr. Ellen Conaghan. She's the acting accounting officer for today. We've had her in our meetings before. Have you got it, Honourable Member?
She only accounts today, you mean? She's not acting until the permanent person is appointed.
When we requested to understand as who was the accounting officer, the minister, I think she explained that she was in the process of appointing an accounting officer. That is why she's acting for today. I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, unless I'm made to understand otherwise. Honourable Member.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Minister, and the Department, and Honourable Members. I think where the Honourable Member wants clarity is whether is she the acting DG or what position, according to government positions, does she hold. Because if you say she's the accounting officer, automatically an accounting officer is the director general. So does that mean she's the acting DG? If not, then what position does he hold according to the structure of government? I think that is where clarity is needed. Thank you, Chair.
Over to you, Department.
I think the question is a valid question, and let me try and explain. We don't have an acting director general. That's the starting point. The second point is that we have a technical team which was seconded from the DPSA to assist in the process of setting up the systems and structures within the department. And therefore, the position of Dr. Ellen Conaghan is that of a Deputy Director General within the DPSA. She leads the technical team that was seconded. So that's the position she's currently holding. So in the meeting earlier on, our understanding was that we were requested by the chairperson and the portfolio committee to appoint somebody who would be the accounting officer for the purposes of this meeting today. So hence my immediate response to the request by the Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members was to appoint the Dr. Ellen Conaghan in that regard. Thank you.
Are you clear now, members? I'm sure we would appreciate that things will be abnormal because it's a new department, still, you know, standing on its feet. So things will not be as normal as other departments. I think that's what we must appreciate and understand. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Just from a point of clarity, we asked earlier on about no accounting officer, and the Minister explained that somebody, the interviews have been taking place. Just like to just go back slightly, we did have an acting DG, and that DG is no acting DG is no longer there. Is a process in place for that as well, to appoint an acting DG or a DG?
Thank you, Chairperson. In response to the question by the honourable member is to say that we don't have an acting ditch. The process now is to appoint a director general. That's what you saw. Hence, after the interviews tomorrow, I mean yesterday, the process will now be taken to cabinet for cabinet to apply its mind and take the final decision on the issue. And we hope that will be done as soon as possible, the Honourable Chair.
Yes, Oga.
Sorry, perhaps I'm being just a bit confused. Earlier on, Minister indicated that there had been interviews for an accounting officer. Does that mean there were interviews for an accounting officer and a DG, or is that one and the same person? Okay, thank you.
DG, Honourable Chairperson, is the accounting officer. Thank you.
Good to ask, Robinson. Now you are clear. We have agreed that we will go through the budget as well.
On page 26 of the first document, the strategic document, there is a summary of the budget process as well as the budget. It's the first document in this book, the strategic document, 26.
Okay, Dr. Ellen, you may proceed.
Yeah, it's page 26, part 9.
Have you found it, Kiki?
Can I?
Part 9 is the medium-term expenditure framework. The department submitted, as indicated earlier, a zero-based budget, National Treasury, motivating allocation to cover expenditure on the following. The physical and financial acquisition for a new departmental accommodation space, a three-year mandate implementation plan. This expenditure estimation is based on the organizational structure. The DPSA concurred, that is 195 people, and was to ensure that the department was able or would be able to acquire the necessary skills and capability to deliver against its mandate. And, of course, then the compensation for the for the personnel. Just a summary of all is in order to give a history of where we come now. In October 2009, a submission was submitted to Treasury for $1,174,409,258 to Treasury. In November, Treasury indicated that the allocation is approximately $150 million. In December 2009 to January 2010, there were negotiations between Treasury and the Department, primarily at the political as well as the administrative level, and then a compromise budget was issued to the Department for $461 million. And in this amount, there was no funds for the Commission on Gender Equality because that had not been part of the negotiations. And the understanding was that that would go directly to the Commission on Gender Equality as they had submitted their proposal to the Department of Justice. In February 2010, the indication by Treasury that the allocation amount in was 321 million to cover expenditure as requested in October 2009, and that means the physical space, the financial allocation with regard to compensation and programs, as well as implementation with, in terms of international obligations. But in this 321 million, 165 million was for the Commission on Gender Equality, was to be a transfer to the Commission. In February 2010 to date, the department is still in negotiations with the with Treasury, and it is now at a political level with regard to this vote. The allocation, as prorated over a 3-year period, is as follows: administration for 2010 is 24 million. For 2011, it is 24 million. And then for 2012, it's 26 million. Then the three branches, the funds are the Women's Empowerment and Gender Disability and Gender Equality is 58,996,000. Of this amount, 51 million is to go to the Commission on Gender Equality. In 2011, 2012, 64,629,000. Of this amount, 55,150,000 is to go to the Commission on Gender Equality. 2012, 2013, the allocation is 68,165,000, and the allocation for, or the transfer to the Commission on Gender Equality is 57,930,000. The Children's Rights and Responsibility Program, the allocation for 2010 to 2011 is 7,135,000. For 2011-2012, the allocation is 9,566,000. For 2012-2013, it's 10,335,000. For the Program on Responsibilities and Rights of Persons with Disabilities, the 2010-2011 is 7,133,000. The second year, 2011-2012, is 9,565,000. The third year, 2012-13, is 10,331,000. In each of the categories, the funds are to cover programs and compensation of staff. This is the summary of the budget. Thank you, Rep. And can I just understand before we proceed with questions? The budget allocation that you've just given us now, on which amount are you working on? On the 156 million?
Can I give over to the members for now? To ask questions? I have my questions, but I'll just reserve them for now. Can I hand over to members? Can you put your hands up, then I will just... Is there a hand up?
Which one?
Okay, can I have Honorable Kekana, Honorable Tseke, Honorable Marcus, for now, three hands. Honorable Robinson.
Chair, the question is going to be based on the budget that is alarmingly very worrying. That's the context, that if we get a budget like this, we're all asking ourselves what went wrong. Yeah. Now, you know, we've been given this department strategic plan, and we also had our own strategic plan. The first question is, wasn't the understanding, I don't know about what the procedures, what the law rules are, but wasn't the understanding that the two strategic plans are going to build into each other? Because, I mean, in our own, remember we got a report from Civil Organ that children are alarmingly neglected in this country because of abuse of women. A lot of children are actually left in the lurch. Anyway, that's worried, and they were saying it is a very big alarming number, and we're just worried that if children are growing like this, they are neglected, abused, traumatized, are we then a society that is producing future leaders, future people who lead this country properly, or are we breeding criminals, psychopaths, people who grow up because they are hurt, they are injured, damaged in their mind from childhood? And we said that is something that needs attention immediately. Now, this is what we emphasize, because this is the report we're getting from Civil, the organization that deals in our own community. She spoke about Civil Organ. And I see it doesn't appear as an emphasis there. Now, in your priorities, for example, you say economic development. Women, children, and disabled people, why do we prioritize economic development? It is very important because everything depends on that. But I'm just saying, because economic development is, there's a ministry, there's a whole cluster of economic development. Mining, agriculture, all kind of areas where this is focused. Why must we focus, prioritize something for the next 5 years that is already done by so many other ministries? While we've got burning issues here, social issues about maladjustment, social maladjustment for women, for children, and for youth. That's the first question. I'd like to come back later, Chair,
okay,
if you don't mind.
That's fine. My specific question is the department's plan not going to be built into our plan as a committee, taking into account the work that we have done? For instance, the work that was done on domestic violence, that we picked up a lot of issues that need to be corrected there. Now, I think according to the last speaker, that does not seem to appear in the plan. So, may we proceed this? I have a point to do with Tucker, Robinson, and Marcus.
Thank you, President. I thought that the department will go further in giving us the breakdown of this budget, because this is an overall, so we want the breakdown in terms of the programs that they are having. Like, for example, Program 2, that is Women Empowerment. Can they give us, what are they going to do? What are their intention in terms of the budget that they've been allocated? Thanks.
Chair, thank you for the opportunity. I also want to follow on from what my colleague, Honorable Kekana, said. about the children seemingly having been allocated a very small sum. I'm also concerned about the people with disabilities. And yes, I think this we have a serious problem here. So we do need to see how this is allocated. Women have been allocated 58. Now, I understand we've got to remove 51 from that. Right. So it does make it slightly less. But his question sort of follows on from mine, at least mine follows on from his. What about the disabled? What are we actually going to do? That's what I'm really concerned about.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is, what was Treasury's reasons for the decrease in this budget? What did Treasury say? Why are they giving you this amount? Number two, it's similar to the Honourable Member Seeker's one. Did the department prioritise within the constraints of the budget given? And then I'd like to know what is the relationship with the Commission on Gender Equality? Because look at that, 51 million, you know, and what is your relationship with them? Because that's, you know, things could be aligned to the amount that they are getting. Thank you.
Let's take the last question, and then we'll hand over to the department. Let's not crowd the question. I think that's quite sufficient. You are going to be the last speaker.
Oh, thanks
for now.
Thanks, Chairperson, and my apology for coming late. I was still tied up with some other responsibilities. Linked to the questions, important questions raised by our colleagues, actually the founding question must be the question of what the department, how the department intends to link this budget to the programs, and which programs are possible, which ones are not possible. Of course, linked to that, it will include questions raised by my colleague and by other colleagues on the matter relating to the disabilities, matters relating to the other colleagues. But also, with this little amount, how far the department can go in relation to the organizational structure. Quite obviously, if they intended to have a plan of developing an organogram, that organogram, wherever it lies, is bigger than the money. What is it that you can do? What is it that you can't do? And what is it that we can hold you accountable of at the end of the financial year?
Over to the department.
May I just do a follow-up? I left out one point which was picked up by the last speaker. I'm just concerned about the CGE. Money has been taken from us, in a sense, to give to them, but what are they achieving and what have they achieved? As far as I seem to remember, that they haven't even delivered an annual report for 2 years. So why should they be given so much money? What is their purpose in life?
So who is that question going to?
Well, perhaps the department could let us know what the relationship is, and that's where it fits in with the previous question.
I don't think that would be a fair question to go to the department. They must be asking the same question themselves. Perhaps the right people to ask that is Treasury, because I don't think we can even ask the CGE itself. Why are they being given this amount?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think there have been a number of questions. I don't think I'll answer them all by myself. So I think that the Minister and the colleagues will assist. All right. I think maybe we need to start from the beginning in terms of trying to provide the context for answering these questions. The original budget of $1 billion integrated within the budget catalytic projects. The catalytic projects meant that the department would, as all national machineries in other parts of the world, would be able to identify areas and coordinate programs and facilitate, provide oversight of those programs. When the $1 billion did not come through, the issue of whether the department can actually undertake catalytic projects came to be. In assessing the $75 million that was allocated to the department in November of last year, it was very clear that the department would not be able to hire in terms of personnel and would not, in a sense, be able to move to an office premise because all the estimates done within the department, within Treasury, and within Public Works indicate that an average of around $40 million is required to move the department. And what we have in the budget, in terms of the $156 million, is around $7 million for accommodation and all that goes with that. So obviously, it would be a difficult situation to make. In November of 2009, the department came with what we called a compromise scenario. That scenario provided Treasury with a budget of $561 million with very clear program areas and very clear indicators. That was agreed more or less in terms of the thrust of the program. And in January of this year, with Treasury at the officials level, there was a consensus for $461 million, which the department considered acceptable. This would have allowed the department to fund flagship projects. And the flagship projects, in terms of the women's of the children's program, it was a program to take children off the street. That was one project. The second project was to adopt a child. It was something similar where there would be a program where people could actually adopt a child, but not necessarily move the child, but provide support for the child to go to school and all the amenities that go with that. So those were the two projects. The women's program identified the 50-50 and also identified rural development for the economic empowerment of women as a second flagship project. The disability program identified economic advancement of persons with disabilities and then working on the 2%. I think it also the budget also is informed by the strategic framework, which is informed by the rationale for establishing a national machinery on its own. The rationale was to increase government's capacity to mainstream. And so consequently, the budget was allocated to ensure that there is enough technical competence to work with different government departments to ensure that they take into consideration gender, disability, and children's rights. And it was also budgeted because in the past, the OSW, the ORC, and the OSDP did coordination, but that the issue of oversight was not integrated into that work. And what is more important with regard to that is that the idea of equity measures was not possible given the capacity within the OSW, the ORC, and OSDP. The intention was to change the methodology and the trajectory so that it can be part and parcel of the government department's own targets, so that in working with the departments, the equity measures could be integrated into government's outcome-based approach, which is the new approach. And so in terms of the output measures that different departments have, that there would be an insertion of equity measures so that the department does not essentially to do the equity measures, the department would require more than 195 people. But given that structure, the emphasis was to ensure that it's locked into the department and that the department maintained responsibility for mainstreaming. So that is the one area. The third area was actually to begin to look at disaggregation of data. And to ensure that this becomes a normal routine for government, and that the quarterly reports of government departments automatically generate reports for GDC, because currently to get a report for gender, disability, and children's rights often requires going back to administrative records about things that happened in the past, but that it should be part of the routine of government reporting. So that process had started as a department but is now a bit slowed down. And that would be in terms of the initial idea was to work in the five priority areas of government. So that is it. But above and beyond all of this was that the department needed to actually develop a green paper that would inform everyone about its objectives, its tasks, its methodology, its strategies, and particularly around its oversight function, because they are ministries, so that it works with M&E and also with the Planning Commission with regard to the oversight functions. But also, as is would be expected of a national machinery, that it set the national agenda on gender, disability, and children's rights. So those were the things that are contained in the budget for $461 million. In looking at that, we've had to refine and indicate that what then is the priority and the difficulty is that there is an important, it is quite important to focus on the issues of equity measures, particularly so that the added value of a national machinery of this nature can become quite apparent as government begins to generate its own reports. Secondly, that it is important to do the green paper. Thirdly, that it is important to indicate and set a national agenda, which will be identified through a clear national plan of action in these three areas. And of course, the department would be expected to continue to report internationally. That given the resources, that as much of the international instruments and measures need to be integrated into the national plan of action, so that we don't have an artificial situation where we focus on international instruments, but focus on them through the national plan of action. So those were the different strategies that we had to look at. On $156 million, it would not be possible now to do the flagship project. That is clear. The budget for the 195 staffing approved by the Department for Public Service and Administration is estimated at $72 million by the Department of Public Service and Administration itself. And the expectation was that the 195 people would be in place by the end of this MPF period. Under the current configuration, it is quite limited as to how many people can be hired under the current budget constraint. But there is a detailed operational plan for each of the three branches, and because the font is fairly small, I'll ask my colleague to read that out. But there were issues regarding the CGE, and I'll ask colleagues to help with answering that question. I should say, from a process point of view, at no point did we have a consultation with the CGE, so we can't really talk about their budget. The other, in terms of linking programs, there is, I imagine there is cooperation, but the CGE does have an oversight responsibility over government. So linking of programs would have to take that into consideration. With regard to Treasury's reason for reducing, we were not really informed. We had extensive consultations up to 461 million. Thereafter, we were just informed that this is what we have, and we had to stay within this particular envelope. So I think that I don't know if Minister, I would defer to Minister if there's anything I've left out.
There's a question that was asked by the first speaker on the issue of whether the department did not see the need to link up their plan with the committee's plan, and he raised some issues. And also, Honourable Sekou, she asked as to why is there no breakdown. Because we need a breakdown. You cannot just say women empowerment and gender equality. What about that? You know, what are you going to do about women empowerment? You know, state your programs and say, this will go for this, this will go for this. So I think those are the two that we left out.
Mm. What is the operational plan? It's the third document in the book after the PowerPoint. And that breaks it down to the detail. It's the third document.
Sorry, Chair. Have you got that?
Sorry, Chair. While also looking at the detail, if members would look at the E&E chapter, like sort of the this one, it will be the red book, yeah. On page 12.
Before we get there, on the question that was asked by Sekou. On the operational plan, do we call that a breakdown? Is it a breakdown, members? On this one, would we really say this is a breakdown?
Actually, I just wanted to say,
because it just says, like for instance, ministerial special programs. What programs are those? And how much goes to each program? I think that's what you're asking.
Yes. Actually, Chair, just to make a follow-up there, you see, we're not actually asking for details. We're saying the essence. If you say women, what is the essence about women? You can say it in 5 points. You want to empower, like you said, in the rural areas. You want to help abused women, you know, the essence of that, not the detail, which is something you can say in a sentence just by stipulating exactly what it is. I mean, if you say women is vague, ambiguous, we don't know what you're talking about when you say woman. Anybody can say women, women, women. But, you know, for a strategic plan, after you've presented it, we must have captured the essence. We know exactly
without going into detail, what programs, just the title of programs. Children, what is it that you want to do with children? Disability, you could say, the issue of facilities being accessible, the issue of employing 2% of disabled people as a target, as a quota, you know, that is the essence, not necessarily the detail. But this is very vague, to be honest. Remember, you motivating, you want money, you just throw statements, and people won't be convinced.
To what Honorable Kekan is saying, in my view, it was also going to be important that this department of ours links up, for instance, with Public Works to check what Public Works will be doing for women. Unless you don't do that, you'll duplicate the little money that you have. Honorable Marcus.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson, because that was a question I just put here at the top, but I spoke about the different departments. What I want to know, for example, when it comes to the empowerment of women, some of the money went to the CGE, and there's a 7 million over. Now, that we need to break down. What are you going to do with that 7 million? Because the thing is this, what will you achieve when it comes to the empowerment of women on that 7 million? And then when you look at the 2.9 million for gender mainstreaming, you know, how are you going to advance gender mainstreaming? You know, that is what we're looking at. Because you said, did the department prioritize within the constraints? Because when we debate this 97.790, we must be able to say, with that a little money, you are going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Because if you want us to multiply 2 for money.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think it's unfortunate that the department says they have not met with the Commission on Gender. Because, Minister, for the fact that the budget was given to the department and then the allocation of the gender, the Commission on Gender Equality came out of the allocation that was given to the department. It means that it is the department that is accountable to us. That is one. Secondly, the fact that the department will not be able to make sure that there is no duplication if they don't meet with them and actually see what programs are they going to undertake, how will they make sure that there is no duplication, because you might find that they are doing something which the department also intends doing. So I think it is unfortunate that they did not meet before coming here, because that is what should have happened. The department should be able to tell us that out of the 51 that is going to the Commission on Gender, these are the programs that they will be engaged in. They can't come here and say, no, we have not met with them, we don't know what they are doing. Even now, they don't even know what the Commission on Gender is going to be doing with this money that is allocated to them. So I think that one is very unfortunate, because it should have formed part of this report for today.
Also, in my mind, I would go further and say it's also unfortunate that they have not met with other departments as well, like education, health, you know, because I'm just afraid that there might be a duplication. Honorable Marcus?
I was just looking at the Constitution, and then, you know, there's something that struck me, the second function of the Commission on Gender Equality. They speak about it monitors to, it investigates, it does research, it educates, lobby, advise, and report. And that is similar to what the Honourable Member is saying. And then I put down here that it would have been good if we knew exactly what was the budget for women, children, and persons with disability in the different departments. Because you see what can happen, the money is low. But Treasury can tell us but there is money in the other departments. And if you look at the red book, the red book is long, and this department is legalizing that red book as a department. Nothing is like that. So that makes a person worry.
Okay.
Because today I read through that whole portion, the whole time while I was sitting in Parliament, and that told me this is a legalized department. And we are worried.
Okay, I'll just see what I can write and I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, I'm also worried. Dr. Ellen says there's some way they should develop policy and they should come up with green paper first, you know the process, green paper, white paper, which means hearings and so on. Now, what I don't understand, you see, you don't just do things because you are a new minister and you do things because they are done. You need to say, why am I doing this? In my own opinion, I can't really believe that NC government from 1994 doesn't have policy on women, doesn't have policy on children. Children today have rights. And I would imagine they've gone through the issue of policy on children. I know there's policy on disability. And if you want to develop new policy, I'll ask you which policy do you want to develop. It is there. It has been reviewed. It has been drawn from international practices, African practices on disability. So there were green papers, white papers until policy on disability. Now, I'm just saying, be careful because, again, you won't get money if you just copycat. You just copy how things are done. You need to understand what you are doing. Because if people are going to see you as people who want to repeat for the sake of repeating, they'll think you want to waste money. But I'm just saying, clear the issue of policy. As far as I understand, there is policy on women are strong these days. I don't think they can jump around without policies. They are guided by strongly confirmed policies internationally. So I would say there is police also on women.
To add to that, the department needs to remember that you were not actually starting from scratch. You were starting from the OSW. And in our view, we thought you would actually take that forward and implement the work that was done in the OSW. But the way we're doing it now, it's like the OSW has never done any work, especially taking into account what the Honorable Kekani has just said now on the issue of policy. So it does worry. Honorable Minister, may you have a...
Honorable Chairperson, let me thank the honourable members for the questions and the concerns raised. But I would like to ask to be given an opportunity to go into detail. You know, perhaps what we are going to be presenting now will speak to some of the concerns and that are being raised by the honourable members. So if we can just get that opportunity, better clarity will be provided in that regard. And later on, Chairperson, will come also on the issue of the CGE once the presentation has been done on the details of our program. Thank you.
To that, we will listen to what you have to say, but just put this at the back of your mind. For instance, when we take the women's program, we have 7.9 million. That is after the CGE's transfer. Right? And for the women's branch, we then have 4.6 million. Am I correct? Now, we want to understand things like, where does then the 3.3 million go to? Next year. And you will go on also to the children's program, 7.1 million allocated. And the total budget for that is 4.2. So where is the 2.9 going to? and the same will apply with the disability, 7.1 million. And the total expenditure is 4.8 million. So where is the 2.3 million going to? So those are the things that we need to be clarified on. But let us adhere to, sorry?
And even chairperson, like this document we received today, the operational plan. I'm just saying, if you look at this, these things that amount to what is in the red book, you know, things like that, although we're not just looking at it, but we do have queries on it, thank you.
Give the department a chance. Department also was on its feet. It should also be much easier because we would be having this person that is dealing with the women's branch and we question that. And we have this person that is dealing with children and we. Now, it makes it even difficult for you people to, you know, to. Just as it makes it difficult for us.
Thanks, Minister. Thanks, Chairperson and Honourable Members. We'll try and take the Honourable Members through to the operational plan which we've prepared. I will maybe briefly on the ops plan to explain on page 1 and page 2 that these are the administrative programs that happen in the office of the DG and the Minister as well. So I will just zoom in to the programs, and I will start with the WIG, the Women's Branch. The third page on the option. Sorry, it's not my yes. I think the critical thing to highlight at the beginning is that the 156 amount that has been allocated includes compensation as well. And as you will see, as the Honourable Members will see on the E&E, those are already stipulated amounts which each branch must take out of the 7 million to be able then to take the remaining money to be money for implementing programs. So, for instance, if you look at WIGI, you would have to minus 1.9 million out of the 7 million to use that money for program implementation. I think it's very important to highlight that because as you will see as we go through the plan, that the total amount that will be on this plan will not be 7 million because it will minus the amount allocated in the E&E for compensation. Now, on the Chief Directorate planning and policy implementation on the promotion of women empowerment and gender equality. The strategic objective of this Chief Directorate is to create an enabling environment for translating government's mandate towards the empowerment, advancement, and socio-economic development of women and the transformation of gender relations. We have a key indicator, and that is to say, new policies will be developed and existing policies would be reviewed to ensure full implementation towards the promotion of women empowerment and gender equality. And the main key project, the main projects on this, the first project will be the review of the national policy on gender, and this is going to have the outcome for the year 2010-2011 would be a cabinet-approved, reviewed policy on this. And then the amount that we'll be spending would be 1 million. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to. And then the The second project would be to undertake the ratification process for the SADC protocol on gender and development. And the outcome here would be a ratified protocol that will be domesticated nationally through the gender policy. And we are budgeting 30,000 for this. The next project is the coordination of the 365 days of activism. And here we have allocated 459,000 for this. And then the third would be your national, your planning and consultation meeting with the gender focal points in government. And we are expecting to host 4 meetings every year, and this will cost 80,000 rand. And therefore, the total amount that will be used in the first year by the Chief Directorate Planning and Policy would be 1.5 million, to 1.6 million to round it off. On the next year, also on the same Chief Directorate, the first project will be to conduct a gender analysis of the implementation of legislation, and the output would be an identification of gaps and recommendations in terms of what it is that needs to be done in trying to deal with those gaps. And the allocated amount on this is 500,000. The next project would be to develop a policy on maternity, paternity, and family workplace. The output will be a policy developed, and this is going to cost the department 500,000 rand. The third project would be to coordinate and implement 365 days, and this would be at a total amount of 284,000 rand. The third project would be planning and consultation, which is your annual planning and consultations with the different focal points in government departments, which is the normal system that we'll be using as a department to make sure that planning happens in consultations with all the departments. And these meetings will be held quarterly, and this will cost the department 100,000. Then going to the third year, this is 2012-2013, the first project would be to conduct a gender analysis of implementation. Now, at this stage, we are aware that we would be doing an analysis, but there are no specifics as to the legislation that where the gender analysis will happen, because as you are aware, the first year we would be looking at the review, and you will see later, of all the legislation that is related to the different sectors, and therefore recommendations from there would guide the department on a yearly basis as to what legislation then they would do analysis on. And this would be allocated 500,000 rand. 500,000, yeah. And then the next would be to develop a policy on paid and unpaid work and paid care work, and the output here would be a policy, and this would cost the department 300,000. The third project in 2012-2013 will be to coordinate, again, as you know, it's an annual event, the 365 days, and here the department has allocated 610,000. And then the normal planning and consultation meetings with gender focal points is budgeted for at 150,000. And therefore, in the years 2011-2012 and 2012-2013 respectively, the budget allocation is 1.3 million and 1.5 million, to round it off, 1.6 million. This is the first Chief Directorate on the branch Women and Gender Equality. The second Chief Directorate is the Chief Directorate on Mainstreaming and Capacity Development. And the strategic objective of the Chief Directorate is to facilitate the mainstreaming of women empowerment and gender equality consideration into government policies, activities, and programs through the establishment of relevant structures, mechanisms, and projects. The first project under this Chief Directorate would be to undertake consultations
throughout their first year with lead departments to mainstream WISI considerations into the government programs and the national priorities and develop a national gender plan. The project output here would be specific WIGI considerations in the programs of the five national priorities, which is spearheaded by particular lead departments into 2014. The next output will be a national gender plan that will be developed, and this project has been allocated a total of 1 million. The second project on the first year would be to coordinate flagship programs on rural development and economic empowerment for women, including the establishment of the Women's Fund, Stockfeld and Savings Development, and development of cooperatives. On the first year, in line with the limited allocation, what the department would be able to do is to develop a concept paper and consultations on the implementation system for this empowerment fund and what it is that the department can start to plan for if the fund is to be rolled out in future. And the amount that will be allocated to this is 569,000. Going to the next year, which is 2011-2012, the project would be continuing with WIGI, mainstreaming within the department, and then what we would want to see as an outcome here is government departments to continue to ensure that within their planning and their programs, there are specific women empowerment and gender equality considerations. And also, on the second project, which is the development of a national gender plan, what we would want to see on the following year would be an annual national gender plan implementation report, which will guide the machinery as to what it has achieved and what needs to be done going to the following year. The second project here, it will continue to be the flagship program, and the output here would be the First Women Empowerment Fund and one case study on empowerment that will be meted out to beneficiaries. And the allocated amount here is 384,000. The total amount is 1.384 million. On the third year, in the same chief directorate, it's the same project which will be continuing, and the allocation for project one will be 1 million, and the allocation for project two will be 560,000. And the total for the third year on the chief directorate, mainstreaming and capacity development, would be 1.560 million. Now, going to the third chief directorate in the women's branch, the strategic objective of this chief directorate is to ensure compliance and comprehensive reporting on implementation of national, international, regional, and continental commitments on women empowerment and gender equality through the development of an effective and efficient M&E system. Project 1 in year 2010-2011 would be an establishment and implementation of sector-specific tracking verification and sectoral performance evaluation and comprehensive reporting systems in the branch. The outputs here would be four quarterly WIGI reports from each government department, preliminary WIGI national performance database, four quarterly sectoral machinery performance tracking, planning, and improvement strategy meetings, including one conference, and this will cost 300,000. The second project would be to undertake a national gender audit across government. The output on the year one will be one audit report developed, and this report will identify gaps and challenges and make recommendations, and at a total cost of 500,000. The third project will be compliance with national and international instruments.
The output here would be 3 reports approved by Cabinet, National Parliament, and submitted to continental and international bodies such as the AU, SADC, UN Beijing plus 15, and this will cost 59,000 rand. The last project is CEDAW report presentation process, and this output will be 1 national task team set up and responses to CEDAW committee comments prepared at a total amount of 700,000. This means that for the first year, the Chief Directorate Monitoring and Evaluation would use a total amount of 1.569 million rand. On year 2011-2012, the Chief Directorate, the first project would be the implementation of specific performance tracking. This is a similar project to the one implemented in year one, and here the outputs are standard. It's your 4 quarterly reports. It's the national performance database, and then it's 4 quarterly sectoral performance tracking meetings at a total of 500,000. The next project would be compliance with national and international instruments. Here, 3 reports will be approved at the total amount of 868. The third year, which is 2012-2013, the project is standard and the implementation of sector-specific performance tracking, 4 quarterly reports, a WIDI national performance database, and 4 quarterly sectoral meetings at a total cost of 500,000. The second project is also a standard one, which is compliant with our international instruments, and this will result in reports being approved by Cabinet, National Parliament, to be submitted to the continental and international bodies at a total cost of 100,000. In the 2 years, the total cost for the Chief Directorate, respectively, is 1,384 and 600,000. The total spending annually for each for the branch WIGI on year 2010-2011 will be 4,679,000, and for year 2011-2012, 4,154,000, and for the year 2012-2013, 3,720,000. I must indicate that these totals would be what is remaining out of the 7 million once you have removed the compensation funding from that budget. The next branch is the Children's Rights and Responsibilities, and the branch also has 3 chief directorates. The first chief directorate is planning and implementation on the promotion and protection of children's rights. The strategic objective for this branch is to create an enabling policy environment for translating government mandate towards the development and protection of children's rights. The first project is a national children's rights policy framework. The output would be to secure a cabinet approval for the policy at a total cost of 520. The next project is partnership and advocacy, and the output in year one would be a framework for partnership and advocacy and a strategy that would be finalized that will spell out how the branch is going to be forming partnerships, yes, and how it's going to be rolling out its advocacy program at a total amount of 700,000. The total budget for this chief directorate in year one will be 1,220,000. In year two, also on the same chief directorate, The project would be the Children's Rights Policy Framework, and in the year two, it is envisaged that the policy will be popularized at a total cost of $594,000. The second year, in terms of the project partnership and advocacy, the intention is to launch the advocacy program and finalize agreements with identified strategic partners at a total cost of $500,000. The total for the year two will therefore be R1,094,000. On the third year, the policy will be further popularized at local level and reviewed, and at a total cost of $529,000. And the project related to partnerships and advocacy, the anticipation is to host advocacy workshops in 7 provinces and to have secured 2 and implemented 2 public-private partnership programs at a total cost of $500,000. This will total to $1,029,000 for the Chief Directorate Planning and Policy Implementation. The next Chief Directorate on the Children's Branch is Mainstreaming and Capacity Development on the Promotion and Protection of Children's Rights. The strategic objective here is to facilitate the mainstreaming of children's rights consideration into government policies, activities, and programs through the establishment of relevant mechanisms and projects. The project here, Project 1, is Mainstreaming Children's Rights Consideration in Government. The output is consultations with national and provincial government departments. 2 is training in 9 provinces on mainstreaming of children consideration. 3 is the national children's agenda developed at a total cost of $500,000. The second project is a flagship program on street children and promoting the Each One Raise One concept to enhance protection and development of children. In year one, we envisage that a concept paper will be adopted by the stakeholders at a total cost of $1 million. The total amount is $1.5 million in year one for this chief directorate. Also on the same project, the anticipated output in year two, the project on mainstreaming, is that 50% government planning will be in line with mainstreaming children's rights, and that output two would be an annual national children's agenda implementation report at a total of $500,000. On the project two, which is the flagship project on street children, it will be the launch of the street children program and the Each One Raise One Child campaign, and a pilot project will be implemented at a total cost of $1 million. The total is therefore $1.5 million. Also, a continuation of the same project, mainstreaming in year three, 75% government planning in line with mainstreaming children's rights, and also again an annual national children's agenda implementation report at a total cost of $500,000. On the flagship project, the output will be on Street Children Program and Each One Raise One Child campaign pilot project implemented and reviewed, and then the results and recommendations will be published to inform the department as to what the outcomes of this pilot project have achieved and whether this is a project to be taken forward. This will be at $1.2 million, making the total in this year for the Chief Directorate to be at $1.7 million. The third Chief Directorate is a Chief Directorate on Monitoring and Evaluation and Research on the Promotion and Protection of Children. The project here is establishment and implementation of sector-specific performance tracking verification and sectoral performance evaluation and comprehensive reporting systems in the children's branch. The output here would be the quarterly children's rights reports received from all spheres of government. two National Children's Rights Advisory Councils to do performance tracking and planning and improvement strategies at a total cost of $900,000. The second project here is International Instrument Compliance Report submitted. Here, the second and the third report will be submitted to the UN or the AU, I'm not sure about this, at a total cost of $600,000. On the second year, the project of performance tracking, it would be the regular quarterly children's rights report and two National Children's Rights Advisory Councils at a total of $900,000. And on the second project, which is compliance to international instruments, the output would be a UNCRC report and an AU report finalized at a total cost of $600,000. On the third year, similar projects, the allocation is $700,000 and $600,000 respectively. Here, the total budget for the branch, you have it at the bottom there, honorable members. For year 2010-2011, it's 4.220 million. For year 2011-2012, it's 4.94. And for year 2012-2013, it's 4.29 thousand. And then going to the fourth program, the rights of people with disabilities. In year one, the Chief Directorate Planning and Policy Implementation for Equalization of Opportunities for People with Disabilities, project one is review and refine the national policy. The output is a cabinet-approved national disability policy at 200,000. The second project is a draft disability bill. The output for year one is a consulted draft bill at 400,000. Project three is to undertake a South African Disability Alliance consultative meeting at 300,000. Fourth project is to coordinate the national disability machinery at 300,000. The total for this chief directorate will be 1.2 million. In year 2011-2012, National Disability Policy and the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities to be printed and translated into Braille and distributed in nine provinces, 800,000. Information on the appropriate assistive devices to different categories of disabilities, 200,000. Guidelines on provision of assistive devices printed in an accessible format and distributed at 150,000. Conducting the SADA meeting, 200,000. Coordination of the National Disability NDM, 200,000. Year 2012-2013, training manuals developed in collaboration with BALAMA at 200,000. Development of a series of training sessions on the utilization of the guidelines for providing assistive devices conducted in nine provinces at 700,000. The SADA meeting, annual meeting again, 200,000, and the NDM coordination at 200,000. The total for each year for this chief directorate is 1.2 million. 1.5 million and 1.5 million respectively. The Chief Directorate Mainstreaming and Capacity Development Project 1 is to implement the anti-poverty strategy for persons with disabilities and also to develop a national disability agenda. The output here is an anti-poverty disability specific indicators developed and consulted. Output 2 is a national disability agenda developed at 200,000. The second project is a flagship program on rural development and economic empowerment for persons with disabilities. The output here is a needs analysis for persons with disabilities in rural areas conducted and a four quarterly progress report.
at 500,000. The third project is a concept paper for Disability Empowerment Fund developed, and the output here would be to ensure that there is an increased, I think the output in this year would be a consulted concept paper for disability empowerment at a total cost of 200,000. The third project will be mainstreaming guidelines developed, and the output here will be disability policies and adjusted, adopted, and mainstreamed at 400,000. On the second year, on this chief directorate, the anti-poverty program project, the project output will be access to number of anti-poverty projects by persons with disabilities and an annual implementation report for the National Disability Agenda at 300,000. The second project would be your flagship project on empowerment fund for persons with disabilities, and the outputs here would be access of anti-poverty projects in collaboration with Department of Agriculture and local municipalities promoted in rural areas, and one case study on the empowerment that has been meted out to beneficiaries, as well as four quarterly progress reports at 100,000. The third project is the concept paper on empowerment funds consulted in the three provinces at 150,000. Facilitation mainstreaming guidelines consulted with relevant departments at 100,000. In the third year, the project implement, monitor, and evaluate the anti-poverty strategy using disability-specific indicators. The project output will be specific disability indicators, and then also an annual national agenda, national disability agenda implementation report at 150. And the third project is the flagship project, and here on year three, it's anticipated that there will be a growing list of beneficiaries to the empowerment fund at 300,000, as well as the four quarterly progress reports. And then on the empowerment fund project, the year three will see the project on the disbursement of funds in three provinces piloted. And, sorry, this, I think there was a mistake here. The outcome here would be an equal distribution of the funding available in three provinces. The last project is an intervention strategy to increase 2% of employment for persons with disabilities being implemented. And the output here would be guidelines on reasonable accommodation for persons with disabilities at 300,000. The total allocation per year for this chief directorate is 1.3 million 650 and 1.5 million respectively. Now, I think this is the last chief directorate in this branch. I think sorry? I think the total, I'll just indicate the figures. It's 2.3 million, it's 1.6 million and 950,000. The annual allocation for this branch is 4.8 million in 2010-2011, 3.8 million in 2011-2012, and 3.5 million in 2012-2013. Right at the bottom, members will see that there are totals there. These are totals for the different branches of the annual program budget. In year one, you are looking at 19.4 million for the total implementation of the work of the department distributed in the three branches. In year two, it's 17.4 million, and in year three, it's 16.8 million. This totals to 53,632
million in the 3 years. Thank you.
Chairperson, just to add, there was the issues that were raised earlier. I think now with this presentation, perhaps I can shed light. The chief directorates that are termed gender mainstreaming and capacity building, particularly in the areas where we talk about mainstreaming different areas, this is where the consultations with the departments are going to take place. Letters have already been written by the minister to the different minister, so that the meetings are about infusing their work with the gender, disability, and children's rights, and so that there would be no duplication, because that is about equity measures. So from that perspective, I should also shed light in terms of the consultation with the CGE. The CGE was actually consulting with the Department of Justice. That is why we did not consult with the CGE with regard to this particular budget. The consultations were exclusively with the Department for Justice. The meeting we had with the CGE last year indicated that their requests were at a much higher level than what the Treasury had actually allocated with regard to this. So there is consultation, and they'll continue as part of gender mainstreaming. There will continue to be consultations with the other departments.
Members, were you following? Kiki? Were we following? I'll measure that by the amount of questions.
More information with regard to human resource profile.
No, let's hold on. Let's hold on for now, because otherwise we will not have time. I'm just looking at the time. It's quite against us. Honorable Slow.
Thanks, Chairperson, that this presentation was made. Because this presentation is now giving the committee a clear guideline on how it relates to the department for the next 3 years in relation to oversight. It tells you exactly what the department intends doing for each of the 3 years and how we can be able to say to them, you said to us, this is what you are doing, how far are you, what is happening, is the progress. And at the end of the year, we are in a position to say to the department, when they present their annual report, that these are the things that you said you were going to do, which do not reflect in the annual report. So this, to me, is good. One interesting question that I would like to ask the department is that, at the face value, one observes that the issues or the components of society that this department is dealing with are actually the entire society except for me. And I'm not saying this in a derogatory manner. What I'm saying is that you are referring to the majority of the people of South Africa by saying people... women, youth, children, and people with disability. It looks like youth is out now. But you're talking here about many people. And as you refer to these people, there are services that these very people get from other departments. I would give an example. When we were looking at the similar strategic plan and programs of the Energy Department, there is an aspect there where they make reference to the vulnerable groups in regards to access to free electricity and other issues. And when you talk to social development, they will tell you about these services given by their agency, SASA, and all that. And when you get to this or that department, there are all these services. What kind of coordination does the department have in plan to include in their report the services and the financing that takes place in those particular areas? When you talk to the Department of Basic Education, you will hear that the whole thing is about children, and among that, there are debates around whether to establish separate schools for children with disability, or the other debate says that would be when you separate them from the rest of the children, that would make as though you are, how do you call it, excluding them from society. Thank you very much. So there are those kinds of debates, and quite obviously a lot, I think the better part of the budget is put on education and health, and it is used on the same children. How does the department relate to all of these other departments? Police, for instance, they are dealing a lot with matters relating to violence against women. They deal a lot with all kinds of issues that are related to this department and not directly done by this department. That relationship, I think, is dynamic and important for us to know.
Can you try and be a bit shorter? We'll say to your point. Honorable Tecchiano, Honorable Robinson, Honorable Marker.
Thanks, Chair. I'll try to be short, though it's difficult. The number one issue, Chair, again, it is the issue of the format. We, most of us here serve in other committees, and we comparing what you're presenting with strategic plans from other committees. You know, the issue that we raised earlier on, in the future, if your format, the structure of your this thing can have, say, priorities, and you do that in about 3 or 4 pages. And after each priority, just a brief resume, a brief summary of what it entails, even before we go to operational details. That helps because in 4 pages, you know exactly what people are doing. This is how it has been presented. The second point, Comrade Chair, is Chairperson, is the one about policy again. You look at the whole operations and so on. I still feel you're still emphasizing a lot on policy and spending a lot of money on policy. 500, I see your favorite number there is 500. But the point is that you're still spending a lot of money on policy. This government has acknowledged they've done a lot of policy for the last 15 years. In fact, a lot of policy has been done, reviewed, and what is now emphasis is implementation. That is why the minister and the president of Colin Chabani and Trevor Manuel. Implementation is the key thing. And that must be reflected in your operations and even in your budget. But I really still feel you're spending a lot of money. Lastly, if I could give you an example, you can say you want to print and distribute on disability and braille. That has been done. You should go policy. You should go to any library, even the parliamentary library, and ask for a copy of the policy on disability. It is there in each and every library. And if you want to transcribe it in braille, in the library they already have computers that do it automatically. So I'm just saying, don't do things that don't convince Treasury that they are worth doing. They are adding value because they'll just think you're wasting money. Thanks, Chair.
Just in addition to what
the Honorable Kekan is saying, for example, in your presentation you talk about issues pertaining to devices that would assist with regards to the people living with disabilities. And this is the role of the Department of Health. It's already been done, or it's being done. Now the question would be, how then does this target relate to the draft disability policy? Because it's already done in health, as Honorable Kekal is saying. But he gave another example of the brain. Now this is a second example. And also on the issue of, some of you mentioned about the street children, this is already done in social development. So you are really spending the little that you have on things that have already been done. Hence I said perhaps you should have set with social development, check what they do. Because of course, they will not do everything, but you should have checked what has been done, and then you come up with something else. The issue of Braille, Honorable Kekane has raised, it's done. Now, mentioning the issue of the devices, it's done by the Department of Health. The issue of street kids, it's done by the Department of Social Development. So you're already... So I think this is a reason why Treasury is not convinced. But they know these things have been done in other departments.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I don't know. I don't want to be seen as if I'm repeating one and the same issue several times. But members will remember that last week when we met at this committee, the issue of the CGE was clarified, that a declaration was made that it has been taken out of the Justice Department and put into this department. So legally it falls under this department. What does that mean? It means that it is the responsibility of the department to ensure that there is a meeting between the department and CGE and actually to try and align the program. That is the first point, Chairperson, that I'm very worried about, but that there is still this confusion that maybe there is no need for the department to have met with the CGE before coming here. And I believe that there is actually a very big need for that. And then second, Chairperson, on the first, on the second program, the one on women, the presenter mentioned the issue of the Women Empowerment Fund, the cooperatives and stock fields and the likes. This one is actually related to the issue that was raised by the honorable member who spoke before me, that this matter, we know for sure that it falls under DTI and economic development. So I would really think that it would not be wise for us to focus on such issues. But also, Chairperson, in addition, one is really concerned, because what we should remember is that, you know, the reason maybe departments like this are formed is because there has been an outcry out there in the communities that in our country has got too many policies, very good policies, but which remain on paper. Therefore, the establishment of this department is actually aimed at ensuring that as there is implementation, rather than also seeing it focusing, you know, all the energy and resources on policy again, which are the things that are already there in the country. All we need is really a focus on implementation. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sabuza.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to touch on what other members have touched. I've been going through the operational plan, but I just need just a little bit of clarity and detail, just a little bit, not much. I align myself with my colleague who said we use a lot of money. I'm saying that again. But I just want just a breakdown on, like, for instance, I would like just a bit detailed information on that. Like, for instance, when you started, you said that's for administration. In the administration, I just peeped in the green paper. You mentioned the green paper development and consulted. $250,000. Maybe it's old age, if you can just brief me on how did you get that, how do we get to that amount? Not much, just a brief detail.